Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Let's turn our Bibles over to the book of Hebrews this morning. Let's go to about the 12th chapter, possibly we'll read a little there. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which spoken unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and it so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. and this word yet once more signify the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's go on a little more. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, and being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable, and in all the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and to be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them to have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. You know, in the present days, and in the teachings of the church world, even the writings right here, the Hebrew writer, many dispute who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some think it was Paul, but there's writings in here that there's terminologies used in the Hebrew writings that would be different, that Paul never used and expressed through any of the books that he wrote. And Paul usually in the books that he wrote would usually, in a salutation or whatever, he would usually put his name or the things that he was writing there. Some say it was Luke. Others say it was, I don't know, there's a few I don't recall. Different people have different thoughts, but I do know who it is. It was the Word of God. It's God breathed and inspired by the Word of God. So it doesn't matter what vessel was these things written in. We find many great, beautiful things written through the book of Hebrews. But as we read here, we would find that it would be rather offensive in this present day and hour, the teachings that we find going forth right here in this book. Because there's a teaching in the churches today, and there's been a teaching that's been going through the churches for many, many years. You know that, you know, and Jesus is our high priest. We do have a covenant with him. We do that, but see, God still set things in order. And as we were exhorted here in the reading here of the 13th chapter and even in the 12th chapter, there was an exhortation to obedience, to oversight, and to overseers. You see, as a minister, many times it's hard to minister down those trails because it looks like you're trying to bring people under subjection to yourself. But you see, it's not a subjection to yourself, because before I was a minister or ministering or put into a pastoral position, I understood obedience to headship and to leadership. It's through everything in the earth, brothers and sisters. There's nowhere. A man gets self-employed because maybe he doesn't want to submit to a boss somewhere, but he still finds himself submitting. When you're self-employed, you're submitting to the people that are going to write the check to your business, whatever. I have found nowhere, no way that a man comes out from under subjection to authority or somewhere. It doesn't matter what you are or who you are. The president of this country is under subjection to a cabinet, under subjection to Congress. It doesn't matter how much you've raised up, and you'll always be under subjection to a living, true God. So it doesn't matter where we put ourselves. This is why the Word of God is so accurate and so right. I mean, it says, ye that humble yourself will be exalted. You exalt yourself, you will be humbled. You see, in Jesus Christ, they used him as an example in the writings of this word. He is the word. But they used him as an example that he humbled himself before man as a servant. Came in and washed the disciples' feet. Showed what humility was, being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You understand, the one that spoke this world into an existence. The one that created all things, and all things were created according to the word of God by him. Had no beginning, had no end. Humbled himself as a servant and came and served as man and said he was an example, and this is what we do. So see, this is why I have to be very careful when I minister down these trails. People would think, well, you're just wanting people to submit to you and to serve you and take care of you. No, I came as an example to serve you. I came as an example just as the Lord Jesus to do that, but I still have to teach the principles of God, godly life and godly sacrifices that we make into the kingdom of God. And we have to find a willingness within our hearts. As we read right here, it says we submit one to another. It isn't big I and little you, but still there's rank through headship that we find it. As we go back to Romans 1:20, and it said all of the unseen things or the invisible things of this spirit world, we do comprehend those things and understand those things which by the things which do appear. God is very militant. God is a very militant God. If you look in the order of God, you'll find that everything fits so precisely. The sun rolls around this earth, or the earth rotates and the sun, and we see this sun coming around. And that science could take this thing, and it's so precise. The seasons are so precise, and all the things are so precise because God is a God of order. See, God has order in everything that he does, and everything rolls around just in such a beautiful way. Men try to do so many things, but God has already established it and set it in order. And we find things in allegorics, we find things in Revelation, we find things in the mysteries of God, and they're all so beautifully in order. You find nothing in God out of order. Everything is so precise and so perfect. Many times we teach things by maybe types and shadows, or many times we teach things by orchestration of the word or formulations of, we might say, even things to understand and comprehend God. We might even use a term that we show things forth of mathematical equations to find the way to come up with the answer. When you take two things and put them together, you come up with the solution or with the answer. And we find that in God, all things are that way. We find that there is a way that God's not changing. He's unchangeable. And when we find that he has an order in the Old Testament, we come over, even though we see a dispensation of grace, we find that this order is going to go forth. You know, God is a righteous, merciful, just God. We think of Hezekiah, and we see Hezekiah, and the prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, and he says to him, he says, the Lord has sent me to you. And he says, get your house in order, you're going to die. He said, get your house in order. And Hezekiah was a faithful man. It was a faithful king unto the Lord and tried to keep things in order. But the Lord sent word to him. Hezekiah humbled himself. He cried out before the Lord and he wept bitterly before the Lord in pleading with God. And before Isaiah got off the porch, after he came in and gave him word that he was going to die, the Lord spoke back to the prophet of God. And he said, go back in there and tell him that I've heard his prayer. And that he heard his prayer and that he would take this thing and add 15 years unto his life. You see the importance, brothers and sisters, of humbling ourselves before the Lord and seeking and crying out before God. Even though this man done great exploits and had many things come after him in his kingship. And when there was the king of Assyria came and said that they was going to take everything and made a mockery and tried to make a mockery of God. And they were taking the things and taking the gold and the things out of the temple of God. And they were taking these things and robbing the temple of God and doing all of these things. But Hezekiah stood strong against those things. And even when they came to him and they told him, they said, but look at the strength of this king. Look at the strength of him. Look at the cities that he's conquered. And they went down a list and naming all of the cities that they've conquered and all the gods that they spoiled and all the things that they took away. But Hezekiah said, but my God is real. They may have spoiled all these other gods, but they're false gods. They're gods of wood. They're gods of silver. They're gods of gold. But he said, my God is real. And he made a stand and he stood strong and God made him victorious and conquered him. Even though his children come in, Manasseh come in, and they took and made a shame of the things of God. And the king, when he came in as a king, ruled from a very young age, and he come in and he took and spoiled the things and took all the things out of the temple, and they made false gods and all of those different things. And even though God went on in the blessings, and it went on, and Josiah came in as the king. It would be the third one after Hezekiah. He came in, and when Josiah came in, they found the books of Chronicles, and they found these things of the curse that God was going to put on him for what those done. And he knew nothing about that. And when he heard those things, he sought God, and he pleaded with God, saying, please, and begged him. And God promised Hezekiah. He said, I will not. He said, because of your humility and because of your love and thanks towards me, he said, you will not see this judgment come while you live. But when you go to sleep with the fathers, the judgments are going to come. You see, God is a graceful God and a merciful God. And he let him finish his reign there before the wrath and the judgments of God came. Let me tell you, this is America. The Bible said if the nation will humble their land, he will heal. He will heal that nation. And this is where America is. We've seen the grace of God. We know that great forefathers and great men of God, great men have come into this country and they've done great exploits in God and they've testified and glorified God. But now we come to a time of gross darkness coming on the land of America. We come to a time that in the religious ways, it is abomination in the eyes of God. The religious people that call themselves the church, and it is not the church of the Lord Jesus. It's the church that the Bible speaks of that becomes cage to every unclean bird. These churches of this religious day and hour are an abomination in the eyes of God. The Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Church of God, the Assembly of God. I'm not leaving one out, not one church out. The only right church and the true church is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which they called themselves Christians there at Antioch. So I say some names, and that doesn't mean that everyone that falls under that name is in error, but all of them have gone astray from what they've stood for and what they started out with. We go to the Word of God and we find many great kings, we find many great priests, many great prophets, all through the Word of God that started out in order. But what they do is they let their own righteousness, or they let this own thing rise up within them, and they exalt themselves before God, and God will bring them down. He exalted himself, will be humbled, is what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God is true. And this is what happens within the church. And this is what happens. I was reading this morning in the Word and was speaking about the church, and it was speaking there, and it says filthy lucre. Brother Randall and I was talking about just this the other day. We think, well, what is filthy lucre? Filthy lucre is the money that the priests take as a hireling, is filthy lucre. The money that comes into what they call the churches, and it clarified that as being filthy lucre. When a man is a hireling, that's filthy and it's abomination before God. You say, Brother Rob, is a minister not supposed to be on a payroll? According to the scriptures, he's not supposed to be on a payroll. And you say, but I see all these churches doing that. And the Bible says it's a small flock, few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it in. So The thing is, yes, a man may not understand, may not comprehend. He may have been put on a payroll because he loves the Lord and he's seeking after God and trying to do things for the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to doom that man into the eternal damnation or flames of hell because of that. But I'm saying we need to be diligent in this word, just as it commanded us right here in the book of Hebrews, not going to these strange doctrines and these strange things. And we need to stay in the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' creed, and preaching the word of God and continue on in the things of God. And I know that many times it can sound very offensive to people when they hear you teach or minister the things, but it's prophesied in the Word of God, and it's told us in this Word of what's going to happen in the end times, and how that they become hirelings, and how they become teachers just to itching ears. They tell the people what they want them to hear. They want tell them what they want to hear because they don't want to make any crosses or make any problems or complications. But as we read here in the book of Hebrews, it says, speaking of chastisement, speaking of the judgments of God, speaking of the discipline. You see, that's what the word disciple is, brothers and sisters. It's people that are disciplined into a godly life. This is why they were Jesus' disciples, because they were disciplined into a walk and into a way. And we do not need to forget discipline, brothers and sisters, into the things and the ways of God. Your outer man, that outer garment of iniquity, that fleshly part of you, has to be disciplined into obedience. And you say, but he was crucified with Christ, Brother Rob, and no longer lives. But you still bring that man into obedience, unto subjection, to know who is King and who is Lord and who is God. Amen. Who is the God of your life? Who makes your decision? Where do you go and what you do? Who makes those decisions? It's a God that's making those decisions. And it's either the God of this world or it's either the God, eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we follow Him by obedience. Amen. We follow Him. He was a man of obedience unto the cross of Calvary, that we might have life and life more abundantly. And you have to become an individual that is obedient unto the cross of Calvary, unto the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you could walk in obedience with Him. We find God being a just God, and when He speaks something, it comes to pass. Even though we've seen His mercies, we've seen His mercies there, as we spoke about there in the Old Testament, where one was going to be get his household in order, and God added 15 years unto his life. He said, what should be the sign of this very thing? And He said that the shadows would roll back 10 degrees. So the thing is it come to pass. Even science has proved that in this computer day and air, that they went back in time and they were trying to find the time, and the sun and everything is so precise that they have proven. There was a scientist that when they come down and they've come all the way to that account, and they proved it by science to go back, because there was a little bit of so many minutes that they could not account for. And one of the men that was involved in this thing remembered reading that in a Bible story, and went back to the account to prove that God's Word is real and God's Word is right. I may not understand how science could go back and look back into the past and figure those things and calculate those things, but it all goes back to mathematics, and everything will run into an equation of perfection. Mathematics cannot be changed to fit your desire in your life. It's the way it fits in a formulation, and it's the way God is. God is a just God, a righteous God, a holy God. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And when we try to change Him into our present day and within our present hour to make Him fit our lifestyles or our religion or our denominations, then we are in gross error, because He's not going to do that for you. Even though the covenant of grace is here and the mercies of God is here, and He may not bring the judgment promptly or swiftly in those things, even though He does many times to the children of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. But the judgment of the wicked, the judgment of the evil, is held back by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if He brings judgment once again on them, He brings it on all. But we as the sons of God, we do face judgment on this side. The Bible said some men's sins go before them and some after, meaning that the ones that go after, their judgment for their sin is going to be after this life. In the perspective, there will be this, that wicked dead will be resurrected and stand before the white throne judgment of God. And they will come before Him, and they will stand for the sins that they committed here with on this earth. But a son of God will never stand in that judgment seat of the white throne judgment. The judgment seat of the sons of God is now. That's why their sins go before them. We stand before a living God today, brothers and sisters, and are judged for the things. Some judgment comes quicker than others, depending on where you are in Him. God is a merciful, just God. And the thing is some people have not an understanding, and sin is not imputed, where there is no understanding. But once you've come to the knowledge of the truth or tasted of the heavenly gifts, or you have knowledge of those things and go on into those things, that's willful sin. And that's, in many cases, God will bring the judgment down on you promptly. Fear the Lord. If the judgment doesn't come to your house, if exhortation doesn't come to your house, fear God, because that may mean that you are a bastard child. Because if there's no chastening, when you know to do right and continually do wrong and continually do evil, then you know that you must be not, that he is not your father, because he is a just father, a righteous father. And he said, even more so, as we read here, if our natural father chastens us because they love us to their own pleasure, what more so would a heavenly father, a spiritual father, the eternal father, do to us that are the children of God? And we see this judgment coming to his own son. And he said, let that be an example to us, that when we see it coming to him, the one without guile within his mouth, the one that is full of nothing but righteousness and holiness and virtue, and we see the judgment that come to him for us and for our sake. Amen. So we need to walk upright before the Lord. We need to seek after God in the things that are pleasing to him. Amen. That is our business. I want to turn over about two pages over there in your Bibles, and we're going to read a little bit more right here. I want you to go to 1 Peter. Let's read a little bit there in the second chapter, and I might even touch a little bit in the third. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile. The Lord Jesus had no guile found in his mouth, if you remember. And hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Reading verse 12 one more time. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish men. Can you see an exhortation into godliness? As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. See, it brings you into being like Christ. You see that? when you take these things and you suffer through these things, even though that you could reason it out within your thoughts and your mind that it's unjust, it ain't right. Well, let me tell you, bless God, you might think, this is my right, and this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, bless God. You see, that's not the mind of God here. It teaches us very clearly right here and shows us very plainly how we should do as a child of God. See, Jesus went before the slaughter silent, brothers and sisters, as a lamb slain silent before the shears. And you see, he didn't look for what was right. He was right. He could have stood before them people and say, let me tell you something. I am God. I'm the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you're going to bow down to me. He had the authority and the power to call down a host of angels and slay every adversary and everyone that spoke even evil against him. But he didn't do it. He went silently. You see, this is how we exercise Christ within our life and prove to our outer garment of iniquity, that outer man, that God is on the throne and God is ruling and God is reigning. And we do that by first and utmost of proving to our outer man, that mind of iniquity, that mind of man, that he is going to bow down. Every knee shall bow, as we read the other night, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's going to be that outer garment of iniquity, that outer man, that's with all of his thoughts and all of his ways, he's going to bow down to the inner quickening of Christ within your life. And he's going to say, thou art the King of Kings, and let him rule and reign within your members. Let's go on here just a little more. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered with us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversations coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and a quiet spirit, which is the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. America needs to hear verse 14. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing, than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. I know that's a lot of reading this morning. I know I read, I guess, about 3 chapters to you this morning in the Word. If we closed up right now and went home, I feel like we've accomplished great, great things, because this is the Word of God. The minister tries to come in God's stead, speaking to the people of God, the children of God in this day and hour, letting God speak through him, that he could bring the mind of the Lord to people and exhort them in a godly way of life as Christian people to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like is a way of an exhorted way of life. We find here again in this latter part of the 3rd chapter, we find that it's a willingness that we have to take by a willingness within our heart to bring this outer garment into subjection and to let this thing be seen under subjection. And this is where we win other souls. I know I ministered not long back to you, brothers and sisters, and I was teaching, paralleling your life to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the suffering and the things that you go through, you know, the Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. But you see, we could say that we do many things for our soul's sake, or we might say for our salvation's sake, but it's really not that way. It is that way, but it really, you see, it would almost sound like I'm talking a double standard, because what I try to do is rend dimensions. The reason we do these things is that others could see God within our life. You see, it wasn't, again, like I told you in times past, it wasn't the times that Jesus raised the dead. It wasn't the times that he opened the blinded eyes. It wasn't the times that he healed the sick. It wasn't the times that he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplied them and fed the multitude that gave us life and abundant life. What gave us life and the abundant life is the obedience to the cross of Calvary to take that man to death. And that's what the others saw when they saw the resurrected life of Christ. That is where the life came from. You understand that? It's not in the great miracles. In this day and hour, the Bible teaches us, it's so clear, that there's lying signs and wonders and familiar spirits. Even back where I was speaking of kings, of Hezekiah's sons, Manasseh, he was one that took and he started going to these lying signs and wonders and started bringing chanters into the temple of God and started doing the things of evil work. You understand? And this is a parallel of the house of God, not the house of the living God, but I'm talking about the churches in this day and hour, that they've done all of these things. They've got in. Let me tell you something. When the churches send to these ministers into their Bible colleges and they're teaching them psychology and teaching them those things, it's nothing but going to the things of the world. It's nothing but going to the devil for the strength through the human, intellectual, carnal mind. I'm telling you, they go there and they learn an intellectual discernment, how to intellectually discern people and how to do many things as such. And it isn't of God. God is not well pleased with that. I'm telling you, we seek after the kingdom of God and the things of God, and we seek after the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mind of man is always in his way. The mind of man is contrary to God's mind. The mind of humanity, the mind of man, or the carnal mind, is enmity with God. It's the enemy of God. You see, and the enemy, it's an enemy because it doesn't think charitably like the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, where charity vaunteth not itself and thinketh no evil. Brothers and sisters, it takes God's mind. You say, how do you know that? Because I have that same mind dwelling within me. you see, of my first birth. And it's a continual warfare within my members. I got to strive and war against it on a daily basis. And by the grace of God, and by the mercies of God, and by the long-suffering of God, I try to will myself to an obedience and to a performance of the cross of Calvary and to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I find the adversary warring within my members, warring within my mind, when I find that rising up against the things of God, then I've got to take in war, or I've got to take and defeat that thing by the obedience unto the cross of Calvary, or obedience unto Christ, and obedience into a sacrificial life in this day. Believe me, brothers and sisters, that Satan is real. He is a liar and he's a deceiver. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he could devour. And he's going to continually come at your mind on a daily basis. And he's going to continually come and try to get you to worship him. When you decide to make sacrifices unto the kingdom of God, Satan is going to come present himself, just as he done to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look, if you would do this, you could have all of this. You can have all of these and you can have all of this if you would just do this or if you would just do that. You see, that's a daily thing within our life as Christians. He's always going to show. If God has a way for you to go, it might be possibility. It may be a rough road. Satan's going to show you a smooth road. Let me tell you, as a minister seeking to be in the perfect will of God, Satan opens up many doors, many, many doors of ministry. And you'd say, but this is God. Look, I get to preach the word. I get to get out there with the word of God. But it's Satan opening up doors of opportunity for you won't be where God would have you to be. Even though that many times God suffers it. And many times souls could even be saved in that, but you're not in the perfect will or the perfect place of God. By us submitting to him in obedience and by the things that we suffer, he will bring us into that place, that closer walk with him. But there's a willingness to it. There is an absolute walk that we walk, brothers and sisters, is a willingness to crucify that old man, the flesh. It's not an easy thing. I've never taught you that it's an easy thing. It isn't something that you could do in your own merits and your own might. It takes the Holy Ghost. It takes being full of the Spirit of God to be able to do the things to make you more than and greater than a conqueror. There are things by will worship that you can do. There are many religious activities and many religious things that you can do. You could preach the word. You could lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You could prophesy great things and they even come to pass. You could take and bring your life under subjection in many ways and still not have the Holy Ghost and still not have God. And it'd be will worship. And you're just reflecting the things of God. And then there will be a day that when that great day star goes out and there's no light for you to project forth because you are just projecting that light in such a way as a reflector. But let me tell you something. When you are a blood-bought child of the King, born again, and your name is in the book of life, then that day star, that light, is an inward quickening in your spirit. And it's a light that outshines that new day sun. And when this old man is rent and that veil is opened, you will see him shining forth in the glory and the magnitude and the power of all the might of God, amen, dwelling within that human structure of that outer garment of iniquity. We'll see it by Jesus Christ being the firstborn of many brethren. We recognized him as we seen him going to the ground, and we seen him coming forth as conquering death, hell, and the grave. We see that very thing, brothers and sisters, that's within your life. He was the firstborn of many brethren. He was our example. We are to be Christ-like, and we've got to do the very, very same thing. So we know that by him making a way for us, that we have this inward quickening of his spirit dwelling within us, intertwining within our human spirit that seals us in and makes us one with him and heirs to the kingdom of God. And by being heirs into the kingdom of God, we know who we are in him, the mystery of godliness and the mystery of God and holiness. We know where we are and how we're to walk within this earth that others could fear God and can find salvation. See, we're about the Father's business. It came to your stead. It came to your lot. It came to you, brothers and sisters, to do what the Lord Jesus Christ done 2,000 years ago, that your friends and that your families and that the people of this world and the people of this day and hour in this 2,000 time, that they could come to see the Lord Jesus Christ walking down De La Rosa in this present day and hour. How do you do that? By obedience. How do you do that? By suffering the things within this life. How do you do it? By killing out your desires, your thoughts, your will, your ways. And you'll become an individual that says, let your will be done, God, not mine. You'll be one that's learning to will, to look for a time of suffering. You'll be one that's looking for a time to swear to your own hurt. You'll be looking for the one that, for the time that when you have the right to speak up and you have a right to stand for yourself, even though we have the scriptures, you know, that teach us that there is a time, that we have the time to reprove and to rebuke, but there is a time that we just hush and let God have His way. And the times that I've done that and observed it over my life, brothers and sisters, I've seen God move in my behalf in such a way, in such a mighty way, in such an awesome way. I could share so many things of stories of that where I had the right, as a businessman, I had the right to go to an individual in reproof and rebuke and had the right to do those things because I was robbed or was ripped off. And I said, no, Lord. And I went on about my business and went on about my way. And God fights your battles and God does those things. Don't misunderstand me. We do in business world, brothers and sisters, have a right. When we work, we have a right to be paid. And just because someone don't pay us don't mean that it's God's telling us that we just suffer along and we go along and we just forget about it. There is a time for that. But then, yes, there is a time that we stand for what's right. But if we're Spirit-led and the Spirit of God speaks within our heart and speaks to us, then what we do is unto Him. And we can't outgive Him. And we can't outdo that. And if God's doing something for a man's soul, what is it all the monies that could be if it's for a man's soul's sake? Just to suffer along and go that way? Believe me, there's a price to pay. When evildoers do you wrong as a child of God, they'll bring coals of fire down upon their head when they do that. So there's many things, brothers and sisters, that we got to weigh out by the Spirit of the Lord. And God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And even though that there will be a time, and we could go to the book of examples in the Old Testament, and you'll see where the judgment of God moves promptly on an individual, where another one done the same act or the same thing, and He would show mercy and grace to that individual. And that's just the way God is in the dispensation of grace. He's no respecter of person. But I'm telling you this, that it does say in His Word that who are you to find fault with Him if He makes one vessel to honor or one vessel to dishonor? And the Bible goes on to say that evil cannot come to a city lest I send it, saith the Lord. And we know that God allows evil to come into the city that others could take and fear God. When this thing hit here in America, when this airplane flew into the great towers there, you say that was the devil doing that work. And I'll say, yea and amen, you're right. But evil can't come lest God allows it. And God allowed that very thing to come to humble this nation, that this nation could get back on their knees before a living God and humble themselves and cry unto the name of God and let Him be their God, because their God is Baal. Their God is the things of this world. Their God is riches. Their God is finances. That's where America is and the things and the ways that they believe and see. I could go on in the Word of God and read scriptures to you. I preach, and sometimes I don't have the strength that I should have as a minister to you all. So I try to open up the Word and say, let the Word read. Let the Word be the judge. Let the Word be right. I was going to turn you over to another book and read to you this morning of what God thinks of the riches of this world and the people of these riches and how these things are going to stand as a judgment before the people. And they cry out in their own strength and their own riches. And God is very displeased with America. We're a wealthy country, brothers and sisters. We're a wealthy people and we're a blessed people. And if we're blessed, let it be the blessings to God. Let us rejoice in God, saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've given unto me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my business. Thank you for my home. Thank you for my automobile. Thank you for my companion. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my health. Praise Him and give all glory and all honor unto Him as a true living God, and glorify and magnify His name for breath, magnify His name for strength, magnify His name in all of those things, brothers and sisters, and let God be real and let God be alive within your life. But I'm telling you that the people are rich in the Laodicean day time, and it says that they're rich and they have no need of God. They're haughty. They are a haughty people. The Bible said the rich answereth haughtily, and we are in a haughty, uplifted, self-righteous nation. America is an abomination in the eyes of God. God is despising America when He looks at it, and He's ready to turn and pour His wrath out on America. Thus saith the Lord. You could take heed to that if you like. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, take heed to what the minister says unto the church and those exhortations. But I'm telling you, God is sick of America in their rebellion against God. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. And I'm telling you that you will see judgment judgment come to America unless this nation changes. They've already forgotten. They're still crying on the radios and on the TVs about this 9/11 incident, but they're already forgetting, and they're turning away from those things and going back right into their same old ways and not humbling themselves. Look into the strength of their military powers, but the military powers of America are nothing when it comes to a God, when it comes to when God makes an allowance. If you think about the thing is when this king was coming against Jerusalem, and he was coming against the kings of Israel, and was doing those things, and he sought the prophets of God and asked him, he said, and was pleading before God, and he said, I will turn those people. He said, I will turn those people back into their own land, that their blood will be on their own land. And they didn't even have an adversary pursuing them. And they went back into their own land, and 180-some thousand people died that particular day because of the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? And the word of God could be spoken, and the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm telling you that as gross darkness is coming into America, it means that the light is departing, and the light and the grace of God is going away. The ministers are not crying out anymore against wickedness and against immoralities. They've opened up the churches to all the filth and all the immoralities of their rock and roll music right in the sanctuaries and within the churches and all of their filth. And it's abomination in the eyes of God. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the judgment begins in the house of God, and the judgment is going to come. We've seen great light when one man turned this world upside down that had the Holy Ghost within him. And we find these disciples and went forth. Where are these 15,000, these 20,000? How come the Baptist church and the Methodist church, the little church over here on the corner, and you go in and look in their books, and it said we had 15 saved tonight and 5 the next night, and then the next service we had 7 and we had 8. The deacon in their church been saved 57 times in 5 years. You understand? Because he goes out and he gets drunk and he goes out and does things that he don't right, and he comes back in the altars, and all they want to do is, you know, say, oh yeah, we had this saved and that saved and this saved and that saved. And why is the churches, when they have so many saved, why are they running 30, 40, 50 people? And I know there's churches in this town, in this community, that call themselves of those denominational types, and they've got hundreds or they've got thousands of them. But where is the fruit of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is holiness? Where is an exhortation to holiness? And where is the thing of godliness and separating themselves from the world? Let me tell you what 5 believers full of the Holy Ghost could do to a community like High Point. And if these churches were all full of saints of God, this place would be a godly place, and it would be a righteous place, and we'd be shutting the mouths of the filthy gainsayers and the sodomites, and we wouldn't have homosexual teachers and lesbian teachers within our school system and all those things if all of these people were the true, genuine sons of God. But God has His way. It's prophesied what's coming into this land, just like it did Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is what America is doing. When you see the gay rights and all of the things that they call it, and they're marching and taking their land, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It's because the Christian people have compromised their convictions and compromised the ways of God. They've turned away. And when I'm not speaking against the denominations in the perspective, because if you go back and name any of them, the Methodist Church started out under John Wesley. It was ordained of God and instructed by God, and it was a godly church. The Catholic Church, when it started, Catholicism was a world religion, and it was right and it was proper. But the people, they pulled together in their little communities or committees, and they put God out, and they went on in the ways of the mind of man. And I could say that with every church. The Baptist church is split up in so many different ways. You got your first, second, third, your independent, you got your southern, you got every so many different kinds, and they can't even be in agreement. When the Bible said we need to be in one mind and one accord, it's not that I'm speaking against personalities, I'm speaking against Satan and his ways and the things that Satan is doing within the earth today. And many things of denominations that stood with a good right name, and they hold it a good standard, those things have changed. I've watched it. The Assemblies of God, who I started out with many years ago, they've turned away from what they used to preach and what they teach, and they turned them into little clubs and little places of fellowship where it isn't right. Brother Randall was telling me his father was invited to be a deacon within an Assembly of God church, and he went in there and got involved in their government. He said, hey, this ain't for me. He was ready to go. You see, a man has a fear of God when he understands. My father was asked not many months months back to be a deacon within this church, and he went to a couple meetings and he said, "Man, I can't be partakers with y'all. I can't do that." When I was a minister in Assembly of God Church and was a youth pastor, I started going to the meetings and I started hearing so much foolishness and things. I'm saying, "Wait a minute, this ain't right. It just don't bear witness in my heart." And I had to depart and had to separate. You see, it doesn't mean those men started out right or wrong. That's not what I'm saying, but see, they've turned away. Many times you as an individual started out seeking after God, loved the Lord, had a zealousness after God, but over time turn away into lasciviousness, turn away into lukewarmness, and then you're not where God would have you to be. Brothers and sisters, don't let the things offend you when we speak about the realities. You understand that? When we speak about realities, don't let it offend you. Say, "God, help me. Have mercy on them. Have mercy on the people of this world. Have mercy on these leaders of this world, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." I'm telling you. And they're going to find that these leaders, it says that they'll find themselves in hell with those people chewing on them. You understand that? In gross darkness. And they're going to find themselves there and for eternal damnation and torment because of their wickedness and their foolishness. You understand when the Bible said, "Don't do as the Pharisees do, but do what they teach." Amen. And let's stay with this Word of God. Let's stay with the Word of God and with what this Bible teaches and what this Bible says. It isn't changed for this generation of people. It isn't changed for this day and hour. Brothers and sisters, it could be offensive to you, or you could look at it and say, "You know, yay and amen. That's exactly the way it is. And we'll take heed to the Scriptures and to the Word of God." I'm not upset with the religious powers of this world. I'm upset with Satan and his powers, and that people have yielded themselves. Again, when you think of carnality, the carnal mind, again, is something that Satan could take in his will and utilize, and him could speak through, and him could use. And this is what's happening through carnality within the churches, because the deacon boards are wretched and immoral and filthy and ungodly. Amen. They've taken these things and they've taken men of business and of power and put them over spiritual matters within the church, because they give money and finances into the house of God. And what they do is they've raised them up and they're making decisions for what the ministers need to be before God. The Bible says howling in the altars, between the porch and the altars, need to be howling before the Lord and crying out for the people is what the ministers need to be doing. And they don't need to quit submitting themselves unto a deacon board as an authoritative thing to tell them where they're going to go, what they're going to do, when they're going to preach, and what they're going to preach. And every time they preach a little bit strong, they glare down on them, and a little deacon sitting on the front row starts tapping on his watch when the minister starts going a little bit over time. I'd take that man and rebuke him and tell him he needs to hit the door and go find him somewhere else to go. You understand that? The minister is supposed to be led of the Spirit of God and preach the Word of God and be under subjection to the obedience of God. Amen. And the Bible says you'll know that they're called of God and sent of God because they turn people from their sin. And these ministers in this day and hour are teaching you that you're sinners and you just sin every day. And that's just a way that's to open up your eyes to know that they're not sin of God. And all they're doing is crying what their forefathers were crying. And all they're doing is saying what they taught them over in their seminary school, which is lukewarm vomit on God's table. And he's ready to spew them out of his mouth. Amen. We are born of God. And the Bible says, "Ye that are born of God cannot sin, because his seed remaineth within us." And we cannot because of that. Amen. Because he has made us righteous and holy, and the sting of sin is death. And if we have conquered death and passed from death unto life, then that means that sin was conquered and demolished and done away with. The law brought forth sin, and the law was done away with by Jesus fulfilling every jot and every tittle of it. And then it come along that he conquered death. Amen. Because sin was done away with. Without the law, sin cannot be. When the law came, sin came alive. You understand that? So the thing is we understand that we are born of God and we're sealed in by the works of the Holy Ghost, and there ain't nothing that could touch us, nothing that could harm us, nothing that could pluck us out of the hands of a living God, because we are absolutely living forever and ever and ever. Amen. Because we are the sons of God. The Bible says, "Now ye are the sons of God." Much could be said there. Let's all stand this morning. I pray and hope that you can consider the Scriptures and consider the Word and read the Word, and let this Word be a light upon your path. Let this Word be true, and let every man be a liar. Challenge your own self and your own thoughts, your own ways. Challenge them and find out if you're in the obedience of a living God. And obedience, again, is better than sacrifice. And if you can come to the obedience of His Word, then you will find life, and life more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing greater than eternal life. This temporal life of a breath of life, of going in and out of your lungs, is nothing. It's like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment, then it fadeth away and it's gone. The Bible said it's like a flower, a man's life. It comes in with all of its glory and its beauty for a season, and it fadeth away. But let me tell you, that eternal life in Christ Jesus never fadeth away. It is an eternal flowering of the beauty where there is no season, and we bear fruit continually. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the life where I want to be and where I want to live at. Amen. And I've inherited it by Him being my Master and my King, and I become joint heirs with Him because He gave it unto me through the marriage. By we being the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, married unto the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we became one with Him, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Some that may be a mystery too, but He's shown us the mystery of godliness and holiness. He showed us these mysteries, brothers and sisters, and we've seen them and walk in those things. And we confess with our mouth and believe those things, that those are true of what He's done. And we don't let no doctor of psychology or doctor of some theological doctor of divinity tell us otherwise, with all their human reasoning of the word. And they take the Bible and say, well, this is really what it means, and this is what it is. I believe what it says. Hallelujah. Now ye are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Now ye have passed from death unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. We have conquered Satan and all of his devices and all of his wiles and all of his ways, because we are overcomers and greater than conquerors. So we have conquered him. He came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus Christ came to give us life, and life more abundantly. Amen. And I tend to believe what Jesus said. Hallelujah. And the devil is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. Amen. So let's believe the word. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.